الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. Inshallah, the last 10 nights or 10 days of Ramadan start today. Today is the 20th and you got 10 more days to go. So some of us probably didn't do their best in the first 20. They were busy working, hunting for food, sleeping, playing cards, and all that stuff. So if you are one of those guys, please try to make up in the last 10. And if you're not one of these guys, and you did your best in the first 20, then you have to do more in the last 10. And this is what Rasulullah ﷺ did in the last 10, as Aisha said, that the Prophet ﷺ in the last 10 days of Ramadan, he would do more ibadah than any other days throughout the year. Before I start telling you about the things that you need to do in the last 10, I will let you know first the things that you shouldn't do in the last 10. Okay? What you shouldn't do in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Number one, laziness. This guy didn't have a mustache, and I put the mustache for him. Laziness. Eating too much at night and sleeping all day long, like a bear. Okay? You have to work harder in the last 10. If you sleep in the last 10, then what makes the Ramadan or the last 10 days of Ramadan different from any other days in the year? يعني بعض الصحابة رضي الله عليهم كان يقول لا تجعل لعله عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه لا تجعل يوم صومك كيوم فطرك. If you do the same things that you do outside Ramadan, you do the exact same things in Ramadan, then what makes Ramadan different from other months? Okay? Ramadan is very special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's very special. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's very special. So you have to take it seriously. If you look at almost many Muslim victories during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, and throughout Islamic history, most of the Islamic battles that were won by Muslims took place in Ramadan. Ghazwat Badr, the Battle of Badr, took place in Ramadan, right? The Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, took place in Ramadan. And so many other battles in the month of Ramadan. So Muslims were not asleep. The Sahaba were not asleep. The Prophet ﷺ was not asleep. They were defending the Muslim state while they were fasting. In my case, most of the games that I won in soccer took place in the month of Ramadan. The Somali brothers know. Okay? We played several times in Ramadan and most of the time I won, alhamdulillah. Number two, the things you need to avoid in order not to waste the reward of the good deeds in the month of Ramadan, fighting and verbal fights over trivialities. And at the beginning of the month, we said that some people, they waste the joy of the month of Ramadan by fighting over the sighting of the moon, whether Ramadan will start tomorrow or the day after. Whether we pray Taraweeh 11 rak'ah or 21 rak'ah or 700 rak'ah. Whether we will pray Isha 1 hour 15 minutes after the Adhan or 3 hours after the Adhan. Who is going to lead the Taraweeh? Are we going to recite the whole Quran over the Taraweeh or just a few verses from here and there? They waste the joy of Ramadan and they fight in some masajid. One brother told me about one of those fights in Texas. He was an imam there and he said on the first day of Ramadan the people had a big fight. The Arab brothers, they wanted to pray Taraweeh 11 rak'ah and go home. The Indian and Pakistani brothers, they wanted to pray 21 rak'ah. So they had a fight. The Arab brothers on one side and the Pakistani and Indian brothers on one side. Eventually what they did was, the Arab prayed first, they went home, the Pakistanis came with their imam and they prayed 21 rak'ahs. La hawla, what is this? So avoid fighting and arguments and indecencies in the last 10 days of Ramadan or you will waste the reward of your fast. The Prophet ﷺ says, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. Some people, they fast, they don't eat, they don't drink, but at the end of the month, they get zero reward. Because they make a lot of hasanat, but they waste them fighting with people, they waste them cussing at people, they waste them lying to people. So what do? You just you don't eat and drink? This is not fasting. This is how camels and bears fast. They don't eat and they don't drink. Hibernation. Okay? Muslims should be different. Also, community differences at the end of the month. In some masajid, in some communities, and I've seen this with my own eyes, some people living in the same house, a brother and sister, or a wife and husband. One of them prays in one masjid, the other prays in another masjid, then one masjid says, tomorrow is Eid, the other masjid says, no, Eid is after tomorrow. So you see, the husband is fasting, and the wife is eating and drinking, and she is dancing in the street. Because this is Eid for her. What is this? And they have big fights and divorces and stuff. No, we have to be united. Unity is one of the goals of the month of Ramadan. We start the fast at the same time, we finish at the same time. You pray at the same time, right? You recite the same Quran. You face the same Qibla when you pray. So why do you waste the joy and the reward of the month of Ramadan over trivialities? Muslims need to be united in this month. Of course, the loss of enthusiasm in the month of Ramadan. The first 2 days of the month, people are praying on the roof, in the hallway, on the stairs. Okay? But 3-4 days afterwards, people just disappear. Okay? And the same is also true for the last 10 nights. The first few days of the 10 nights, nobody comes. In most masajid, I'm not talking about Tarashid. Alhamdulillah, many people come for Taraweeh and for Tahajjud and so on and so forth. And people just realize that Ramadan is actually there on the 27th night of Ramadan. They didn't know that Ramadan started 27 days ago. Okay? Then after the night of the 27th, they go back to hibernation. Whispering of the shaitan. Okay? As we said, you have the key for the shaitan in your hand. If you want to tie it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. But if you want to set your shaitan free, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you alone. So, lock up your shaitan in the last 10. Do more ibadah. Don't listen to the whispering of the shaitan. Fire the shaitan from your life. And this is the purpose of Ramadan, to fire shaitan. He doesn't work for you anymore. But the problem is, some people, not only they hire one shaitan, they hire shayateen, and they hire them over time. Okay? No. You have to take it easy, you have to slow it down, and dedicate more time for ibadah in the last 10. Wastefulness. I know. I have the same feeling. I suffer during the day. 27 hours, okay? Fasting. But this is not enough reason to eat all night long, and by the time the Fajr comes, you are not able to even open your eyes. Okay? Eat a little bit, pray, go back, eat a little bit, as the Prophet ﷺ did. But don't waste. The problem with many people that I have seen, they make a lot of food, more than they can eat. Okay? I'm not going to name cultures or countries. You know. When you invite somebody over, okay, you cook more than what is needed. You probably cook twice or three times or four times more than what people actually would eat. And by the end of the day, nobody is going to eat the food because people don't like to eat leftovers. They're going to throw it in the trash and cook something else the next day. If you do this, if you cook more than what you need, if you throw 3/4 of the food you cook, please remember your brothers and sisters in Somalia. They are in need of your help. They are in need of your support. So don't throw away your food. Instead, cook as much as you need, not what you want, then give the rest, donate the rest to a good cause, like your brothers and sisters in Somalia. Cooking more food and buying more stuff than you need is actually a psychological thing. When you go to a superstore or to Walmart while you are fasting, you usually buy more stuff than what you usually buy. Because you're hungry, you feel like you want to eat the whole thing. Okay? Just test yourself. Before Ramadan and in Ramadan when you go and buy stuff, you will notice, and this is again is scientifically proven, that when you are fasting, not only you buy the stuff you need, you buy the stuff you want. And there's a big difference between the two. What you need is what you need. You can't survive without. But what you want is everything you like. Okay, you're going to the store to just buy a couple of things. Then you see, okay, something on sale, 50% off. Although you don't need it. You will never need it, okay? But you buy it thinking that maybe it will, the prices will go high. But you don't need it in the first place. Okay, I want it. But you don't need it. So you have to be careful about this. Also, overeating. Overeating in the month of Ramadan. I've noticed some people, and I'm not going to mention names, they gain weight in Ramadan. Okay? And every time I tell the brother, hey, what is this? You're gaining weight in Ramadan. Are you fasting? Are you sure? They start sucking it in, like to show you that they don't have a big stomach. Okay? You have to be careful about eating and drinking in the month of Ramadan. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الحديث الذي رواه المقدام ما ملأ ابن آدم وعاء شر من بطنه فإن كان ولا بد آكلا فثلث لطعامه وثلث لشرابه وثلث لنفسه وليس لنفسه كما يقرأ بعض الناس. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, a human being has never filled a container worse than his or her stomach. If you should eat, then one third for food, one third for water, and one third for breath. Oversleeping. Oversleeping. How many times you were up all night, okay, doing stuff, watching movies, playing cards, Tim Hortons with your friends, you had a big fight on who should pay for Tim Hortons, all that stuff. Then 2 minutes before Fajr, of course you couldn't sleep all night long. Then 2 minutes before Fajr, when Abu al-Ab says Allahu Akbar, then you, for a magical reason, you just fall asleep. Okay? Many times before. Sometimes I had many sleepless nights, and just wallahi, when I thought about standing to pray two rak'ahs or to say adhkar, you just fall asleep. It's a magical thing. It's better than sleeping pills. If you think about standing in salah, if you think about saying adhkar, you will just fall asleep. Try it. So the shaitan will not leave you alone. And of course you know the story of Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, when the man came to him and said, O Imam, I hid something, a treasure in my house, and I didn't know where it was. He put it somewhere, but he forgot the location. Okay? So Imam Abu Hanifa said, okay, when you go home after Isha, make the intention to stand the whole night in Salah. So the guy went, he made wudu, and he stood in the Salah like this, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then the shaitan came to him, and he said, listen bro, go 3 steps this way, then this way, and you will find the treasure. Then the next day, he went to Abu Hanifa, and Abu Hanifa said, I knew that the shaitan, that sucker, he wouldn't let you pray the whole night in Salah. He will come to you and tell you where the treasure was, so you don't pray. So this is part of the whispering of the shaitan. The things to do in the last 10, Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did more in the last of the month of Ramadan than any other days throughout the month. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في العشر الأواخر ما لا يجتهد في غيره. الحديث في صحيح مسلم. عنها أيضا سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها والحديث في البخاري ومسلم كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخلط العشرين يعني الأوائل من شهر رمضان بصلاة ونوم فإذا كان العشر شمر وشد المئزر. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the first 20 days or 20 nights of the month of Ramadan, he would pray at night, he would also sleep, but in the last 10, he would give more time to ibadah and salah. He would sleep sometime, but he would give more time to ibadah. The first thing, of course, is to fast the right way and to avoid the things that we mentioned. And there is a big difference between fake fasting and genuine and true fasting. As we said before, genuine fasting, if your tongue fasts, if your ears fast, so you don't listen to the haram, if your eyes fast, you don't look at the haram, your nose fasts, your tongue fasts, your feet, your hands, everything fasts, and your heart fasts. This is the true meaning of fasting. Of course, the reward for the true fasting, as the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." So Abu, the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, all of us know the hadith, that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan faithfully and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person will get all his past sins forgiven. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says in the hadith that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, then follows Ramadan with 6 days from the month of Sha'ban, then this person will get the reward of fasting the whole year. And the scholars say, you fast 30 days in Ramadan, and you get 10 hasanat, 10 rewards for every good deed, then this 30 multiplied by 10, 300, then 6 days of the month of Shawwal, that is 60, so the total is 360 days, or 360 hasanat. Qiyam at night. Qiyam at night. مفهوم القيام ليس مجرد أن الإنسان يقوم من النوم. يعني سئل أحد الأعراب، أعتقد في وقت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان حديث عهد بإسلام، أتقوم الليل؟ قال نعم. قالوا فماذا تفعل؟ قال أقوم فأتبول ثم أنام. وفيهم ده معنى القيام بالنسبة له. So one companion, he was a Bedouin, a new Muslim. So some of the Sahaba asked him, do you make qiyam at night? He said, yes, of course. So they said, what do you do when you make qiyam? He said, I wake up, I go to the restroom, I urinate, then I go back and sleep. So he didn't know the meaning of, qiyam. Qiyam, in the last ten, is to dedicate more time to salah at night. من القيام من القوامة أو القيام يعني الوقوف في الصلاة. And we said before that the Prophet ﷺ used to wake up his family for salah. Okay. Not only you want Jannah for yourself, you want Jannah for your family too, your wife and your children. Of course, we mentioned the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and Fatima, that the Prophet ﷺ woke them up to pray at night. What is the reward for qiyam at night, standing at night in the salah? The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, collected by Bukhari, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنب. That whoever stands at night in salah, their sins will be forgiven. What is qiyam? As we said, qiyam is praying at night. The tarawih is called qiyam. Tahajjud is called qiyam. Shaf' and witr is called qiyam. So technically, any salah that you pray between Isha and Fajr is called Qiyam in Islam. Any Salah. There is no specific number for the Salah you can pray at night. يعني سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره عن 11 ركعة. عائشة رضي الله عنها said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم always prayed 11 ركعة at night between Isha and between Fajr. But the Prophet ﷺ always did, and he recommended doing things that most of the people can afford. Which means, if you are not able to pray the 11, you pray 2 and 1. You pray 4 and 1. You pray 37 and whatever you can afford. So what the Prophet ﷺ did was actually a recommendation, because this is what most people can afford. But if you are not able to do the 11, you can do less. If you can do more, then it is up to you. I'tikaf in the last 10 nights or 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Some sisters, they were doing I'tikaf at home. Okay, they put a nice carpet with the Masjid al-Haram on it, and they make i'tikaf in the house. If you didn't know the ruling, then inshallah you will get the reward for doing that, okay? But i'tikaf is done only in the masjid. This is bad news for some sisters. I'tikaf is done only in the masjid. Not in your living room, not in the kitchen, okay? In the masjid. The meaning of i'tikaf is to stay in the masjid for some time with the purpose of ibadah, or doing something good. Of course, there are some certain things that are permissible in i'tikaf and some certain things that are not. Of course, salah is the best thing to do. Reflecting on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said last night, or actually this morning in tahajjud, that some people, many of us, we are busy working 2-3 jobs to provide for our families, put food in the table, pay your bills. You never have the time to actually focus on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the time, you don't have the time to pray the right way. Even when you pray in Ramadan, some people, they pray very fast. They pray very fast, they don't have time. But what you do in i'tikaf, you actually have more time to reflect and slow down and reflect on your life in general. Where you are coming from and where you are going. Okay, so you're not just living like this. And I said that most of the time, people don't get the chance to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or dedicate more time to ibadah, or to give a quality time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except unless they go to jail or they go to prison. The only thing they have is time. Now they slow down and they think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they start to make ibadah the right way. The things to do in i'tikaf, as we said, is salah, recitation of the Quran, azkar, and so on and so forth. And also permissible things like studying for exams, okay? Checking your emails. There's nothing wrong with this. As long as it is permissible, and as long as you're not chatting with a girl from another country, then it is permissible this way. The haram things include wasting your time, killing your time. So someone, they leave their home, they don't sleep, and they come to the masjid to backbite people. In Ramadan, in the masjid. So they don't have anything to do. They finished all the Quran. They finished all the hadith. They finished all the adhkar. They don't have anything to do. They just backbite. Okay, look at this sister. She is a miserable cook. Well, look at this brother. He has long ears. Wallahi, if you just think about yourself, reflect on yourself and the problems you have in your personality and the defects in your character, wallahi, you will not have a single minute to think about other people. Focus on yourself. Reflect on yourself. Try to make up and try to correct the problems you have with yourself. Otherwise, dedicate the time to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ibadah. Also harming other people, even with reciting Quran. And as we said last night, the Prophet ﷺ was making i'tikaf, and he looked at the people at night. They were reciting, they were not praying in jama'ah, everyone was praying on his own. Then they were reciting too loud. One reciting from Surah Al-Kahf, one from Surah Al-Baqarah, one from Surah Al-Fajr, and they were reciting loud. So the Prophet ﷺ came to him and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Each one of you is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't distract each other's attention." So it is not permissible to recite the Quran loudly in the masjid, because you will be distracting other people's attention. So this is about Quran. What about chit-chatting in the masjid while people are praying? You will distract their attention, right? It's even worse than reciting Quran in the masjid. Also, in tahajjud and in tarawih, and several brothers, when they stand in the salah, they just can't, for some reason, they can't stand still. Last night, Okay, one brother, I'm not going to mention his name, he came to me and he said, Wallahi, the brother standing next to him, he was like moving all the time, he couldn't. He said, Wallahi, I couldn't focus for a single second. He wanted to punch him in the face. Why aren't you focusing in the salah? You just stand still and focus in the salah. Don't distract people's attention. That reminds me of an old song. I don't listen to songs, but the lyrics are very famous by James Brown. He's a very famous singer in the US back in the 1970s. He said, I have ants in my pants, I can't sit down. Because he used to dance very fast, like Michael Jackson style. This is what people do in the salah. They have ants in their pants when they pray, so they can't focus. They just keep moving like this. Come on, man. And also people who recite with the imam. They are not happy with the imam's recitation, so they recite with the imam, loud. And the guys next to them, they can't focus. And it happened to me once. The brother standing next to me in Salatul Dhuhr, we had a guest, so I let him lead the salah. So I stood next to this brother, and he was reciting loud. I couldn't focus, I couldn't say Al-Fatiha. Every time I go to Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, I have to start all over. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Kusam. I can't focus. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, then I start all over. What is this? So, give us a break. Help the brothers relax. Also, one brother told me in the salah, Wallahi, this brother who was standing next to him, okay, he smelled like cigarettes, okay? I'm not talking about weed or anything, just cigarettes, okay? And it seems that this brother has not changed or washed his feet for the last century or so. So the guy said, Wallahi, he wanted to throw up in the salah. He couldn't. So again, please, when you pray, don't harm people. When you say in the masjid, don't harm people. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet ﷺ used to make i'tikaf in Ramadan and he used to make more i'tikaf in the last 10. In the last year of the Prophet ﷺ's life, he made i'tikaf in the last 20. Because he received the news that you are going to die this year, so he made i'tikaf in the last 20 nights or 20 days of Ramadan. I'tikaf period. Okay, the majority of the scholars, Imam Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmed, the majority of the scholars, they say that any time you dedicate to i'tikaf in the masjid will be i'tikaf for you. If you come for Isha and Taraweeh and Shafi'an Witr, this is i'tikaf. If you come for Salatul Asr with the intention of i'tikaf, you will get the reward for i'tikaf. The Maliki school, they say, however, that i'tikaf, the minimum i'tikaf is one for one day and one night. So there is a difference of opinion. Of course, when you make i'tikaf in the masjid, you can go outside if there is a legitimate reason, or to do something permissible. Say, for example, you want to go outside to relieve yourself or to renew your wudu. There's nothing wrong. Also, if your neighbor's house is on fire, if all the people in the masjid say, okay, after we finish the i'tikaf, we'll go save the brother and his family, it will be barbecue before you go. You have to save them. Saving a human life is more important than all the ibadat. And we have this ruling in fiqh, if you are in the middle of salah, and there is an emergency, you have to stop the salah and save the person's life. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wait. But the human life cannot wait. And the same ruling applies to other things. Like for example, they say, حقوق العباد تقدم على حق الله. If you are a khityar, an old man, and inshallah you want to go for Hajj, and your son is desperate, or your daughter is desperate to get married, then you have to marry them first, before making Hajj. The rights of the people take priority or precedence over the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can wait, but people can't. Also, going out to shop for your family. Your family, your wife can't drive, then it's permissible for you to go out and shop for them. Going out for other things like playing soccer. I know some people like to play soccer, but do it after Ramadan, inshallah. So these are the things to do and avoid in the last stint in i'tikaf. Observing Laylatul Qadr. لو رمضان ليس فيه غير ليلة القدر لكفاه شرفا وقدرا. If the month of Ramadan has nothing except Laylatul Qadr, it would be enough as a virtue and as a blessing. Okay, and we said before, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that praying or worshipping in the night of Laylatul Qadr will give you the reward of standing in worship more than 80 years of worship. Al-Fisha, 1,000 months, is worth 83 years and 4 months and a few minutes. So imagine if someone hires you to work for them 1 hour and get the salary of 83 years. Would you say no? La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. So this is a golden opportunity, so don't waste it. Which night is it? Nabi says in the hadith of the Prophet that the Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10. In another hadith, he says it's in the odd numbers of the month, the 21st, 3rd, 5th, 7th, 29th. In another hadith, he says it's in the last 7. Most likely, you will come across it in the last 7. In another hadith, the Prophet says it's actually on the 27th. يعني لماذا أخفى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة القدر؟ ما كان ممكن يجي يقول لك ليلة السابع والعشرين at this time خلاص تصلي. So why did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم hide the actual time for ليلة القدر؟ He could have just said ليلة القدر is on the night of the 27th at 2 p.m. No, actually 2 a.m. in the morning. You stand for prayer 10 minutes. This is ليلة القدر. You go back to sleep. He could have done this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this just like he hid the Sa'atul Ijaba in the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that in the day of Jum'ah there is a time in which your dua will most likely, will definitely be accepted. It is true that in some hadith he said it might be after Asr, but in some hadith he said it's all day long. So you can do more ibadah. You don't focus only on these 2 minutes, then you go back to sleep. Right? The same is also true, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala akhfa maw'id al-mawt بالنسبة للإنسان. صحيح؟ يعني لو ربنا سبحانه وتعالى لو عرف كل واحد انت هتموت امتى؟ كان كل الناس تصيع بقى ويجي قبل ما يموت بعشر دقائق خلاص يخش الجنة. صح؟ The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid the death time for every one of us. Okay, so imagine if every one of us knows what time he or she will die. Okay, Abdurrahman, you will live 35 years. Ibrahim, you will live 57 years. Uthman, 89 years. Hassan, 15 years. If you know the actual time of your death, then most people, what they will do, they will just live a wild life, steal, kidnap, kill, do this and this, and just 10 minutes before they die, oh Allah, forgive me, I'm sorry. They make tawbah, they die, they go to Jannah. But it doesn't work this way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hide the actual time for a reason, that you try to do your best as much as you can, then to get the blessing of that day and that night. The reward for Laylatul Qadr is forgiving your past sins. Okay, all of us, we are human beings, we commit sins, we have problems, so try to do your best in this night. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith in Bukhari that whoever stands in the night of Laylatul Qadr in Salah, then his or her sins would be forgiven. All the past sins, zero. عائشة رضي الله عنها سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وافقت ليلة القدر فماذا أقول؟ فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. واختلف العلماء هل كلمة عفو كريم كلمة كريم هل هي من الحديث أم لا. So عائشة رضي الله عنها asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, if it is actually the night of ليلة القدر, what should I say in my dua? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, say, O Allah, You are the most forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Very simple words. You don't have to read books of dua at that night. Just stick to these simple words. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Very briefly, zakat. As we know that the reward for your good deeds are multiplied infinitely in the month of Ramadan. We said also before that some scholars recommended paying your zakat before it is due. Say for example, if the zakat for your money is due by December, you can move it forward and pay it in the month of Ramadan to get the rewards, because the reward is multiplied infinitely and immensely in the month of Ramadan. There are two conditions to pay your zakat. Number one, for you to have a certain amount of money. That is the worth of 85 grams of gold. Some scholars say $2,200 or more in your savings account for 1 year, then you have to give 2.5% of this money. But again, as we said, you don't have to wait till the end of the year to give it. You can give it in Ramadan. Zakat on gold and silver. The majority of the scholars say you don't have to give zakat on gold and silver if you use it for beautification, like a bracelet, earring, and all that stuff. Imam Abu Hanifa is the only scholar who said, no, if you have gold more than 85 grams, then you have to give the zakat for it. All the scholars agree, if the person has the gold and silver for business, you buy it, you keep it for 2-3 years, when the prices go high, you sell it, then you have to give zakat on that money, on that gold and silver. It's unanimous among scholars. Zakat on debts. Like someone, a brother or a sister, they borrowed money from you, like say $20,000. Okay? Should you give zakat on that money? The answer is, if you are sure that this person is reliable, they will give you the money on time, then you have to give zakat. But if this person is a crook, chor in Hindu and tug in Somali, right? It's tug? Tug, yes, tug. You don't have to give the zakat if the person is a crook and he's not giving you the money on time. You don't have to give zakat. Once you take the money from this crook, then you give the zakat. If he kept it for 10 years, you give zakat only for 1 year, not for every year. What about the zakat on your car and house? Do you have to give zakat on your car and house? It depends. If you use your car as a taxi, you make money. Or if you use your house, you rent the basement, then you have to give zakat on the revenue, not on the actual price. By the end of the year, the amount reaches the nisab, or the amount for which you give the zakat, you have to give the zakat. But if you use your house or your car for your personal use, like you live in the house, use your car for shopping or going to work, then there's no zakat on it. Zakat to family members. Can you give zakat to your poor brother and sister? The answer is yes. There are some certain people that you are not allowed to give zakat to. If you are a man, a husband, you are not allowed to give zakat to your wife, your children, your father and mother. Only these people. Because you have to provide for them anyway. Even if you are poor, you have to give them. But anybody else, your brother, your sister, your aunt, you can give them. A wealthy sister can also give zakat to her husband. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Because the wife does not have to provide for her husband. Zakat al-Fitr will be done inshallah in 5 minutes. Everyone who has the ability to pay zakat al-fitr should pay zakat al-fitr. You should give zakat al-fitr on behalf of yourself and all the family members who are dependent on you. Because back home, the people thought that you give zakat al-fitr just on you, for you, for yourself. But you don't pay for your family. Like your wife, you have 5 kids, you only pay for you. But you don't pay for your wife or your children. They got no money, man. What should they pay? No, you pay for them, okay? And it is not much. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu used to give zakat al-fitr for the embryo, the child in the womb of his mother. Because this is a special time, and he wanted to do more, give more, to get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone who is dependent on you, you have to give zakat of fitr on their behalf. When to give it? It depends. If you will give the money to the poor yourself, then you give it to them in the last day or 2 days of Ramadan. Some say in the last 7 days, some say in the last 10, some say in the last 2 weeks, some say you can give it to them in the whole month of Ramadan. But if you will give the money to your agent, like the masjid for example, you have to give it ahead of time, so the masjid will have enough time to give it to the poor. You can also give zakat al-fitr to the masjid 10 years in advance. Okay, 1 year in advance. Because your agent, what matters is not the time you give it to your agent, but the time your agent will give it to the poor on your behalf. This is what matters. Should you give money or food? The majority of the scholars say give food. Imam Abu Hanifa, he has a point. He says, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the biggest need for people was to eat. They didn't have to worry about paying their bills or paying fees for school or to buy medicine and all that stuff. But now, the needs of the poor vary. So he said, rahimahullah, give the money to the poor, give them the money or give them a gift card, and they buy whatever they want. But if everyone gives the poor rice, as they do back home, the poor doesn't need rice. They like pasta, they like macaroni, they like chicken. What they would do, they will sell the rice for less than the market value, so they will buy the stuff they need to pay their bills or buy medicine and all that stuff. So either way you do it, it's all permissible, inshallah. If you miss zakat al-fitr for a valid reason, like you forgot, and you remembered like 2 months after Ramadan, then inshallah you pay it and it will be acceptable, because forgetfulness is an excuse in Islam. But if you didn't pay it on purpose, then you have to give it, and it is not zakat al-fitr, it is just a charity. Of course, reciting the Quran in the month, and if you can't read Arabic, you can just listen to the Quran with the Arabic or with the English translation. Feeding the fasting people, that will give you the reward of the fasting people as well. Silatul Rahim. Some of us, and this is a very important issue, you have to be good to your family in this month, and you shouldn't cut them off, especially the brothers and sisters living in Canada. Their family members, they live 15 or 20 or 100,000 miles away. If you're not able to see them, give them a call, man. Send them an email. Send them a postcard. Send them a letter. You have to talk to your family members and you have to be good to them. Even if they are not good to you, you have to be good to them. And at the end of the day, we said before that you are not actually treating or dealing with people, you are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that you do fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward for this. Pray on time, don't delay the salah, and pray on time, pray in jama'ah. Do a lot of dua, because the doors of heaven are open in the last 10, especially in the night of Laylatul Qadr, and make a lot of dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the last slide. I'm going to conclude with the story of Al-Ma'mun. قصة طريفة نحكيها ونخلص بها مسألة النسيان. Before we open the door for questions and answers. المأمون جاءه رجل, أحضروا له رجل ادعى النبوة في رمضان, هو قاعد وصايم وزي الفل, فجابوا له واحد قال الراجل ده ادعى ان هو نبي هذا الزمان. فالمأمون قال له لكل نبي معجزة, طيب مش انت نبي, اعمل لنا يا عم شوية معجزات. فالراجل قال له طب انت عايز ايه؟ قال له يعني على الأقل اعمل لنا معجزة إبراهيم, نعمل نار كبيرة كده ونرميك فيها, لو أنت نبي زي سيدنا إبراهيم إن شاء الله ستكون بردا وسلاما عليك. قال له لا يا عم أنت كده بتصعب عليا, لا خفف شوية. قال خلاص فلا أقل من موسى, نجيب لك عصايا يا عم واعملها لنا تعبان. قال لا يا عم برضه مش نافع. قال له طب فلا أقل من عيسى, تحيي الموتى, نجيب لك واحد ميت وتموته. فكان الإمام أو القاضي جالس على يمين المأمون المأمون. فبعدين الراجل قال ماشي، اللي هو مدعي النبوة قال ماشي مفيش مشكلة. قال إن شاء الله اقتل الإمام القاضي وأنا أحييه لك كما فعل عيسى. فوقف الإمام وقال أنا أول الناس يؤمن بهذا الرجل، ولكن لا تقتلوني. So in the day of Ramadan, they brought this guy to Al-Ma'mun. He was the Khalifa at that time. And they said that this guy is pretending to be a prophet after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we don't believe that a prophet will ever come after the Prophet Muhammad. So Al-Ma'mun, he knew that this guy is a psycho zombie dude. Okay? So he said, okay, you know that every prophet has a miracle. What is your miracle? So the man said, what do you want? I'm a prophet. Just tell me whatever you want and I will perform miracles here. So Al-Khalifa said, the Ma'mun said, okay, if you are a prophet like Ibrahim, we'll make a big fire, throw you in the fire. If you survive, you are a prophet like Ibrahim. He said, man, this is difficult, man. Who can do this? He said, okay. Say, for example, hypothetically, that you are a prophet like Musa. We'll give you a staff, a stick, turn it into a snake. He said, it's even more difficult than the first one. Okay. So he said, okay, at least do a mu'jiza like Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam. He raised the raised people from the death. Okay? He said, okay. The Imam of the Masjid was sitting there next to the Ma'mun, the Khalif. So, this crazy guy, he said, okay, if you kill this Imam right there, I'm gonna raise him back from the dead. So the Imam was like, what the hell? What are you talking about, man? I'm the first one to believe in this false prophet, but don't kill me. La hawla wa la quwwata. So any questions? About Ramadan, about anything we said? Going one, going to two, going three. No? Jazakumullah khayran. Make a lot of dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and to accept our good deeds and to forgive us anything we have done by ignorance, mistake, or forgetfulness, and to give us the reward for our fasting, prayers, and charity according to the best of our intentions. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.